And I want you to open your copy of God's Word to the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 24, verses 36 through 53. And you'll find my outline there in your bulletin if you want to take some notes. And I would encourage you to do that. If God speaks to you today, it's important enough for you to remember what He says. And if you want to remember it, you probably need to write it down. And the older I get, the more I understand what that's all about. I told somebody the other day, the only part of me that still works really well is my forgetter. My forgetter is just number 10 on the scale. Luke chapter 24, these are the closing verses of this gospel. Wherever I go, it's always appropriate to show respect for God's Word. So if you're able, I'd like for you to stand for the reading of the Scripture. Following that, we'll have a word of prayer, and after that, you may be seated. And as they thus spake, Jesus Himself stood in the midst of them and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. But they were terrified and affrighted and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And He said unto them, Why are ye troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold, my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as you see me have. And when He had thus spoken, He showed them His hands and His feet. And while they yet believed not for joy and wondered, He said unto them, Have ye here any meat? And they gave Him a piece of a broiled fish and of a honeycomb. And He took it and did eat before them. And He said unto them, These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened He their understanding that they might understand the Scriptures, and said unto them, Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in His name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. And He led them out as far as to Bethany. And He lifted up His hands and blessed them. It came to pass, while He blessed them, He was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped Him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple, praising and blessing God. And all God's people said, Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank You so much for the presence of Your sweet Holy Spirit. That which Jesus promised that He would send now has come to indwell us. And today, we thank You for those that are here. We thank You for family that has returned, for new family that we've met, for the family that abides here week by week. But most of all, thank You for Your Spirit present among us. You have assured us that where as many as two or three meet together in Your name, that You will be among us. So God, may we be in tune with what You're saying and what You're doing. Lord, help me to get out of the way and just let Your Spirit move. So thank You for what You're going to say. Lord, I pray now, just as Jesus opened the Scriptures to the understanding of those disciples way back 2,000 years ago, that the same miracle of illumination upon the truth would take place through me, Your humble servant. In the name of Jesus we pray, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. You just don't know how much I've struggled over this sermon. When I felt God leading me this direction, I had no idea that we were going to face this flood and the disaster that has come. And so since that happened, I had some people talking to me and saying, so you're preaching homecoming, huh? Yes, well, why are they going to go through with homecoming after all the calamity that has come? And so I thought about that and I said, well, you know, we need to have some sense of normalcy and to understand that God's in charge in all the chaos around us. So I think homecoming's a good opportunity for that. Amen? Yes. But then I thought about the title of this sermon, I'd already given it, already. In fact, I tried to change it, didn't I, Brother Steve? I called and the bulletin had already been printed. Sometimes the efficiency of people just astonishes me. But it had been done, and so I just said, well, how can I talk about being happy at a time like this? But the more I dealt with it, the more I thought about it, I thought about, for some people, homecoming this week was not happy. They came back to a home that had been damaged or even destroyed by a flood. Some of them had to face the death of a loved one, or they're missing them. And there's not a person in this room that has not either suffered loss yourself or know people that have, or businesses that have. We have that connection with each other here in this community. And even though the sun's shining outside, it's a cloud upon our heart. It has a way, these circumstances, of dampening our enthusiasm. It's sometimes a struggle. And yet, I think about Job, a man who lost everything, his health and wealth, his family and his flocks, but he did not lose his faith. And because of that, in the midst of that ash heap, covered with boils, he lifted up his hands and he said, "The Lord has given, the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." And that's where God wants us to be. In the rubble and ruin of life, in the midst of debris and all the devastation, he wants us to be able to say, every blessing that we have received comes from God. And in the sovereignty of God, if he chooses to take it away, well, it's not ours anyway. It belongs to him. But through it all, what our obligation is, regardless of how we may feel, by an act of our will and obedience, to say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Now, your house on earth might be damaged or destroyed. We see that it can happen. But I want you to know that there is a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. And it is impervious to time or termites, to fire or flood. And indeed, if you ask me where my home is, I've got to be very cautious by not telling you, well, it's 238 Pete Luther Road in Candler, North Carolina, because that's not really my home. You see, that's my address where I hang out temporarily. But my home is not here. It's over there. And I want you to understand, I'm not making light of people that have suffered great loss here. It is a tragic and a difficult thing that they face. But I'm telling you that even when the sun's shining without a storm cloud, when the river is just a trickle instead of a torrent, when all of these things just seem to be going well and we're sitting there on our couch just enjoying a time of relaxation, that there is for the child of God a restlessness in their soul. You just can't be fully satisfied with the things that are around you. And why is that so? Well, there is within the child of God a faith just like that which the patriarchs, Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, possessed. And listen to what it says about them and see if you can identify. You should be able to, by faith Abraham, it says in Hebrews 11, when he was called to go out into a place which he should afterward receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For, why did he live in a tent? Listen, for he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from which they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is a heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God. Listen to this, for he hath prepared for them a city. And that's why we can celebrate homecoming today. And we can say happy homecoming because regardless of our circumstances here, we know that ultimately there's that home that awaits us. We can celebrate what God's done in the past, and we can anticipate what he's going to do in the future. I think about how Satan tried to extinguish the light of the world. We heard the choir referring to Jesus, the light of the world. And it seemed like he had been successful as Christ is entombed in that stone sepulcher for one day, 2 days, and 3 days. The darkness had come and the light seemed to be snuffed out. But then, on that third day, those lifeless eyelids popped open. Those lungs began to take in air. That heart that had been stilled now begins to beat. And that glorified Christ in all the fullness of resurrection power blew the lid off of that tomb and emerged victorious over death, hell, and the grave. And aren't you so glad for that? But that's not all the story. Did you notice in verse 51, the homecoming of Jesus that's referenced here? And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. You see, his home wasn't Bethlehem, though he was born there after the flesh. His home wasn't Nazareth, where he resided for so long. His home wasn't Jerusalem, the capital, the city of the king. His home was that new Jerusalem, that heavenly city in glory. And here, after he finished his mission, he departed, ascended up through the first heaven where the clouds form and the birds fly, through the second heaven where the sun and stars pursue their courses, on into the third heaven and into the very presence of his Father. He entered into those gates of pearl. He strode down streets of gold. And as he did so, myriads of angels declared his praises. A host of saints came walking in with him into the glory that was his after he had accomplished his work. What a happy homecoming must have been for Jesus over there. And there he is today, waiting for that moment when he will come to take us to our home. And it could be today, it might be tomorrow, it could be soon. We're looking for that. But here's what I want you to understand. That because Christ accomplished his mission, because he ascended where he is making intercession, because one day he's returning to exert dominion, it has practical implications for us here and now as a church on this homecoming day. So very quickly, I want us to look in three directions. We're going to look back, we're going to look around, and we're going to look ahead. And that's what homecoming needs to be. Let's look back first and talk about the peace from his presence. Ready to take some notes? The peace from his presence. Look again at verses 36 to 43 as the Lord talks about what he has done. And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and saith unto them, peace be unto you. But they were terrified and affrighted, and supposed they had seen a spirit. And he said unto them, why are ye troubled, and why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. What's he pointing to? Well, those scars in his hands and his feet, where he'd been nailed to the cross, where he'd paid the price for their sins. That mission accomplished, paid in full, finished. He says, handle me and see. For a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as ye see me have. That he wasn't a ghost. He was resurrected. Christ in his glorified form. Spiritual. but yet substantial. And they were able to touch him and feel him because he had risen from the dead. Verse 40, when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they yet believed not for joy. I mean, they were just so excited. You ever been like that? That something so good happened to you that you just said, I can't believe it. I can't believe it. Well, that's the way they were. And they wondered and said unto them, have ye any meat? Which is a great reminder. Steve told me I could preach as long as I want to, but at 12 o'clock, y'all are going to eat. Well, it's biblical, isn't it? Here's Jesus celebrating with them, and he says, let's have something to eat. I like that. Then verse 42, they gave him a piece of a broiled fish and of a honeycomb. And he took it and did eat before them. We can celebrate the past when we take a look back today. Jesus comes into that room and he pronounces a word of peace. That was one of his favorite expressions, to say peace. I think about a time in which a storm was raging. We know about storms, don't we? His disciples were with him in the boat. Jesus, what's he doing in the storm? Well, he's asleep, right? Why? He's not worried. He knows he's not going to die in a storm. He knows the Father has a destiny for him on Calvary. So he's just there, rocked to sleep in the boat. The disciples, they weren't so trusting. They got worked into a frenzy. They come and wake him. Master, don't you care? We're about to perish. The boat's being swamped and we're going to drown out here. And Jesus rubbed sleep out of his eyes and got up. And what did he say? Peace! Be still. Instantly, there was a calm. I want you to know something, that there's a peace that Jesus makes available that we can experience regardless of our circumstances, no matter what may have happened. We have a problem, and the problem is that we are separated from God because of our sin. Now, do you know who's in that condition? Every single one of us. The Bible says, Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. I don't know how many sinners we got in this room, but I know this. If we have 100 people in here, we got 100 sinners. If one more person walks in, we got 101. And that's our condition. But that's not the end of the bad news. The bad news goes beyond that to say that the wages of sin is death. That because all of us are sinners, we have a destiny with death. And that means judgment, the second death called hell. Now, that's not something that's going to give you peace. But the reason that we can have peace with God is that Jesus came and he endured that hell for you. He suffered that judgment for you. He paid the price for you in the cross. And that was declared that we had been vindicated, that his mission had been satisfied, that God had received that when he rose from the dead and ascended up into heaven. You see, he died on the cross to save us, and he intercedes on high to secure us. Not only has he brought us into a relationship with him, but that's maintained through what he does. Because you may be like me and like Brother Steve down here, that even though you're saved, you're not quite fully sanctified yet. There's still issues that we have. Isn't that true, Brother Steve? Now, I'm glad you said that, or I would ask your wife and she could verify that. But you see, having been saved, we don't have to worry about being lost again. You know why? Not because of you or who you are. You didn't get saved that way. You got saved by grace. You are secured by grace because we have a great high priest in heaven who ever lives to make intercession for us. The work that Jesus accomplished, and that's why I can pillow my head in peace tonight, and so can you. Because I know that if I die, if a flood comes and sweeps me away, I don't have to worry. It's just going to sweep me up to glory. It's just going to take me into the presence of Jesus. And that's why I can sing. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future, that I can face uncertain days. Because he lives. Now, listen. That's a message that we need in this time. And that's a message that our community needs. And the reason that you at Riverside today on homecoming can make a commitment to share that is because 2,000 years ago, the church was birthed. And according to Jesus' command, they began to declare that message of peace that can be experienced through Christ. And so today, We know and celebrate that somewhere, some point in time, this church was founded to be a beacon of light in this community. And because of that, down through the decades, that message came until it reached you in this present day. And there is not a greater need in this community than for them to know that they can have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Which takes me to my second point. And that's the presence of His, the purpose of His power. The purpose of His power. And we're going to look around us in the present moment and see what the Lord would have us to do because of what He's done in the past. Look at verse 44. Jesus said to them, "These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me." Then opened He their understanding that they might understand the Scriptures, and said unto them, "Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and," notice this, "that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in His name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem, and ye are witnesses of these things. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high." You see, we can consecrate the present as we look around us. Jesus set them apart for the Great Commission to be His witnesses. And the purpose for which this church exists, the reason why you are here, is no different than when your forefathers established this church. When it was birthed with a purpose and a passion to reach this community for Christ, and it needs to be the mission still today. That's what God wants us to be all about. So Jesus ascended up into heaven, but He didn't leave us orphans. He came back to us. His very Spirit poured out upon us, the sweet Holy Spirit whom He promised us would give us the power we need for this supernatural work that we could not accomplish ourselves, but that He enables us to perform. See, we talk a lot about the importance of being a witness, don't we? But the truth is that every person here is a witness, but not necessarily a good one. Sometimes we can be a bad one. Sometimes we can be a silent one. But we need to be good, faithful witnesses for Jesus. Amen? And I know some of us are timid and some of us worry about all these kinds of things. Listen to me. That's why you need the Holy Spirit. And if you're saved, He is in your life. He is there to empower you, to equip you, to engage a lost world with the cause of Christ. And let me tell you, in this moment in which we live, this is our time. This is our task. This is what God has given to us. You are not here by an accident, but by God's divine appointment. You're on this place, in this river, in this community, and God knew what was going to unfold. And let me tell you what has happened. That God, in His sovereignty, has opened doors for evangelism that we could not knock and enter ourselves. Doors formerly closed to us just a week ago, in which people are going to be open and listening because of what has happened in their lives. Are you ready to seize the day? Are you ready to show His love, and in showing His love by helping people in very practical ways, that then you can speak of His love into their lives? This is our moment. This is our time. This is why God has us here, to help those that are hurting. But please listen to me. As great as physical material needs might be, and we ought to have compassion and meet those, underlying this, we understand that there's a greater need. And we're not wanting to just feed people to fatten them up as sheep for the slaughter. We're not wanting to help people recover their material things that they will give themselves to instead of giving themselves to things that are eternal. We're wanting to show them love and help them because we know that the greatest need of all is a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, and His solution is still the gospel of Jesus Christ. So let's pray for the Holy Spirit to energize us, to empower us in this moment to seize this opportunity. Well, we've looked back. We've talked about the what Jesus accomplished, and we've talked about how he has worked through this church in days past to bring us where we are today. We've looked around us at the needs that are there and why God has called us in this moment as a church to seize the day. But then we want to look to the future in closing, because homecoming is about looking toward our ultimate home. And point number three is the praise of his promise. We're here to praise him for the promise that he has given. Look at these last verses, verses 50 through 53. And you know this is the end of the sermon, right? Because there's no more verses that are written. Okay. And all God's people said, amen, I know. And he led them out as far as to Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. It came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven, and they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Amen. We can anticipate the future as we look up. Now, I'm telling you, if we just spend all of our time just looking around us, it can be so distressing and so depressing. If you want to lose sleep, if you want to get ulcers, if you want your goal to be deep depression, just watch the news over and over again every day. There's occasionally a little bit of good news that they stick in there, but it is the exception rather than the rule. Most of it is just dire warnings. I mean, I saw last night, right before I went to bed, that the first murder hornet nest has been discovered in the state of Washington, okay? Isn't that a great way to go to sleep on your pillow, knowing that murder hornets have finally arrived? Oh, my soul. See, you think that things can't get worse, right? Pandemics and floods, well, wait till you face the murder hornets, right? But, you know, we're not to just look around us all the time. We're to look up. We're to know that there is something better that's coming, that victory awaits us. We praise Jesus just like these saints did that day. Even though I know they hated to see him leave them and go up, he said that even as you're ascending up into heaven, the angel said, even as he has ascended up into heaven, this same Jesus shall so come again in like manner as you have seen him go. And they left there with joy in that promise to say, well, see you later. We'll see you again, Lord. And that's true for the child of God. Oh, I'm telling you, God has given us great joy, hasn't he? Joy in worship. We've heard it today in spite of our circumstances that we're going through. But the greatest joy is when we see him face to face. What a day that will be. When my Jesus I shall see. When I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be. Oh, do you ever think about it? Well, I think sometimes we don't. I think when all is said and done, sometimes there's a lot more said than done. We need to pause and think about the blessed hope that is ours. If there had never been a flood, if there had never been a pandemic, if there had never been any of these kinds of things, if life here was just going superbly, it cannot compare to the glory that is to come. Our hope is not here, it's there. And don't ever lose sight of that. You see, the disciples left that day full of praise and joy because they knew that the best was yet to come. Maybe you heard the story of an old missionary and his wife in Africa. And they retired after many years of serving the Lord Jesus. It so happened that the President of the United States, Theodore Roosevelt, had been to Africa on a great safari, and he's on the same ship as those two missionaries. And as he comes back after that safari, there waiting him as he arrives and that ship pulls into harbor is a band that's playing, crowds that are cheering as he walks off there, newspaper writers is there documenting his return from that safari, that wild game hunt. And then the crowd walks away. The newspaper reporters fold up their notebooks, and no more flash bulbs and no more of that. No more cheers being expressed. And this poor missionary, has devoted his life to Jesus and his wife come off of that ship with the only things that they have, a couple of suitcases, all their possessions in this world. Nobody to cheer for them. Nobody to waiting on them. No articles to be written, no headlines in the newspaper, none of that. After they had been so faithful to Jesus for all those years. So that night in their little old rundown apartment, on that rickety used furniture that they sat on, that missionary felt a bitterness rising in his heart. He looked over at his wife and he said, "It's not right. It's not fair. We go and we pour out ourselves for the cause of Christ. And all the president does is go over and hunt wild game. And he comes back and the crowds are enamored with him and the headlines declare his praise. And not one person to meet us. And here we are while he's in the White House and all of that luxury. And here we are. And we gave ourselves to Jesus." And his wife looked at him. Brother Steve, his wives have a way to do. She gave him a rebuke. It was a gentle rebuke, but it was still a rebuke. And she said, "Your heart's not right. I want you to go get alone with God. I want you to talk to the Father. And don't you quit until you get through and the Father speaks to you, because your heart's not right." And he knew, and he went and he prayed, and he began to tell God the same thing that he told his wife. How it just wasn't right, it wasn't fair. He says, "Here we are, and we've come home, and look, there's nobody to greet us. And what good did we accomplish? Here we are at home." And then he heard the voice of God say to him, "But missionary, you're not home yet." And what I say to you, no matter what you've suffered, no matter what you've lost, child of God, you're not home yet. The best is yet to come. Happy homecoming.